This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. If you're just joining us, always love to hear from our audience. Live on Twitter at eRadio Sports, info at eRadioSports.com, podcast arena.com. Hang in with me in studio, of course, is my favorite producer on the planet, and that is Jack McCraw. Give him a follow on Twitter at the Jack McCraw. Now, Jack, listen, on this program, we have already talked a lot about the NFL draft, but I want you to weigh in on this. What were your takeaways?
Yeah, so I think Trevor Lawrence to the Jaguars was a done deal ever since the Jaguars had the number one pick, so no shock there. I think he'll be fine there. Zach Wilson, his draft stock really did ascend after the NFL and college football seasons ended, so no surprise. Trey Lance is interesting because the 49ers gave up three first-round picks to get him, and they still have Jimmy Garoppolo on their roster. So it'll be interesting to see what they do in the Jimmy Garoppolo situation where maybe he starts one more year, finishes out his contract, and then they have Trey Lance waiting in the rings. But I think of those three, I think Trey Lance is the most interesting, but I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have the most impact come week one.
Well, I've been very honest on the program this morning that I just don't know a whole lot about Trey Lance, but coaches have raved about his attention to detail, his study habits, and he is the pride of Marshall, Minnesota. You know, what can he do his first year in the league as a rookie? What kind of impact can he have?
I think the best thing that he could possibly do is almost like Patrick Mahomes, take a redshirt year, sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo, learn from Kyle Shanahan, learn the ropes of the NFL, and try to practice as much as possible. He only played one game this previous season for North Dakota State due to the COVID shortened season they had. But in that one game, he put up good numbers. And in 2019, he put up unbelievable numbers.
He
has the stat line to be a good quality NFL quarterback. And I think he just needs one year under the realm of the 49ers regime, and then come year two, he'll be named the 49ers starter.
Oh, 6'4", 224 when we talk about Trey Lance, quarterback from North Dakota State. Hey, weigh in quickly on Trevor Lawrence. He was destined, obviously, to be the high pick of this year's draft. I mean, what do you think he's going to do immediately?
I think immediately it's going to be interesting to see how him and Urban Meyer gel. I mean, both great college schemes, and this is the first time like a college scheme coach and a college scheme quarterback are combined in the NFL. And we'll just see what it has to do. Expectations are low. It's his first year, but I'd expect Trevor Lawrence to be in this league for a very long time.
Okay, we got you set. Talking about the NFL draft, a full recap. Right now, we're going to shift gears and talk some soccer with the president of the Morris Elite Soccer Club, and that is Vincenzo Bernardo, the legendary former professional soccer player. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Always many different ways to connect with us on social media. At E Radio Sports is our Twitter handle. We're always live. And info at eradiosports.com. Perhaps you have a question for one of our guests, and podcastarena.com. As always, O'Reilly Auto Parts, they make it happen at Sports Map Radio Network. So when your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a risk on a dead battery. O'Reilly Auto Parts provides free battery testing. And if your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people can find the exact battery that fits your car or truck with free installation. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, time now. We're going to completely shift gears here an hour or two. We're going to talk about the wonderful world of soccer. And so delighted to welcome in for the very first time, Vincenzo Bernardo. He is a former professional soccer player who's the owner of Morris Elite Soccer Club. And this summer, they will be an expansion team in the USL, a national minor league system. And it's Vincenzo's first time on the show. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Alyssa. Thank you for having me.
Well, we've got a lot of ground to cover, and before we talk about what you've been up to lately, let's kind of take a step back and reflect on your time playing professional soccer, and because you had a tremendous journey. You played at a young age, and as a teenager, you decided to move to Europe and sign a professional contract. So how do you look back on your time as an athlete?
Yeah, it's just a great experience on and off the field. You know, leaving the United States at 16 years old, was different, and it was unique at the time, especially, you know, in the world of soccer in the United States, where you know, it's still growing, and the MLS was is the top tier league here, and it's still developing as a league as a whole. So American players weren't moving as much, so it was something uncommon. But for me, it was just a great, like I said, great experience to learn, different countries, different cultures, traveling the world, being able to play in different countries. So overall, I'd say it took me to where I am today, which is well-rounded, on and off the field person.
You know, it's interesting listening to you share about your journey. You were 16 years of age. You're probably a sophomore or junior in high school. Vincenzo, it wasn't difficult for you, but I'm just thinking about your parents. Like, how difficult was that for your mom?
It was really hard at first. I mean, it was always my dream to play professionally. And, we're Italian. So, it was a dream come true to be offered a contract to play for Napoli, which is where my family's from. It was tough at first, but, ultimately everyone thought it was the right decision, and it was a great, great move for me.
You know, it's interesting as we reflect on your career, it's taken you all over the world, as you had mentioned, Italy, Australia, Guatemala, and then the United States. You played for Miami. So what did you learn about the world's game in this global journey?
Yeah, well, exactly that. It is the world's game. Soccer is the world sport. And, everyone, no matter where you go, whatever country you visit, soccer is very popular. Everyone loves the beautiful game. And it was just really, unique and different, just seeing the different countries and how everyone kind of took in the game in their own ways. And, like I said, it brought the love and the passion of the game to me. And I kind of took it and, as a player and evolved as a player on the field and learned a lot from my coaching staff in all different countries, which, every country kind of has their own style of play. And, I kind of just took everything I could. And now here as a club owner and as a coach, I kind of just share that experience with the young players that we have here.
Vincenzo Bernardo, he is the owner. He's the president of the Morris Elite Soccer Club in New Jersey, retired professional soccer player. It's so interesting listening to your journey. Tell me about as far as getting selected to play professional soccer. I mean, what do you remember the most about that moment? And, playing for a team, that really wanted you and that pursued you.
Yeah, it was really exciting at the time, being 16 years old and the dream was always to be a professional soccer player. And when that moment happened, it's just pure joy.
Yeah.
That was when the journey really started, and a lot of hard work was put in, before, during the career. It was very exciting, but, at the same time, a lot of work was put in from not only myself, but my family, my friends, all the people that surrounded me. So I'm always thankful for that.
Vincenzo Bernardo, the great, is on our program this morning at SportsMap Radio Network. Give him a follow on Twitter at VB10. Vincenzo, you are only 30 years of age. You're a young guy, already the owner of a professional soccer team that is set to debut in the USL. Did you envision and imagine this would be all a part of the journey? I mean, this came into fruition at such a young age.
Yeah. I mean, soccer has been in my life, since I remember, since I started walking. So,
sure.
Being a player, it was mm-hmm. great, but I never really knew what I was going to do when I was done playing. I knew that I was going to be involved in the game, and just this passion of running soccer camps when I was a player during my off seasons and in my local hometown in Madison, New Jersey. And it kept on growing every summer. And, people were saying, hey, you should think about starting something when you're done playing. And the support from the community that I'm here, the local community here in Madison. So they kind of just, helped me out. And Morris Elite is what it is because of the amazing families and the support that we have from everyone in our community.
You talk about the amazing families, the incredible support that you do have. But, I'm thinking about my listeners, my audience, and perhaps, they're not that familiar with USL. Why don't you kind of get them up to speed? I mean, is it like a minor league baseball or a developmental league for the NBA?
Sure. So USL is it's a men's soccer league. There's three tiers. There's USL Championship, which is the top tier. That's considered professional. They play right underneath the MLS. There's a lot of it's a big established league. Mm-hmm. Then they have USL League One, which is the second tier, where it's still considered professional. It's kind of smaller market teams, but that league has grown tremendously as well. And then the USL League 2, which is the league that Morris Elite is in, is unique from the other two because it's the highest level of pre-professional soccer in the country. So it's for players who are, you know, the highest level college players that want to play and at the next level, but also want to keep their collegiate eligibility, they can play in USL League 2. And then you'll have former pros that, you know, want to be in that environment, want to compete at a high level as well. So it's a mix of those two type of players. And, you know, it's very exciting because you get to see potential players who maybe one day will be on the national team. So it's a very exciting league full of young talent. For sure.
Absolutely. Vincenzo Bernardo is our very special guest, president of the Morris Elite Soccer Club in New Jersey, retired soccer player. And so do you see, you know, this, it's an important time for the growth of soccer in the United States. I mean, the men didn't qualify for the 2018 World Cup, and there were a lot of questions about the future of the sport. And it's so cool to see how you're giving back to the game, Vincenzo. I mean, you want to do everything you can to move ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the sport of soccer in this country has grown tremendously since the last 10 years, I'd say. So, you know, now it's you know, I feel like I have a responsibility to give back everything that I learned being a player all around the world, give back to the kids. And, you know, we're doing just that here at Morris Elite. You know, we focus on player development, and, you know, the staff that I have on board is full of men and women who are passionate, who love the game, who've played at a fairly high level. And they, you know, they want to give back as well. So it's just exciting because, you know, the World Cup's coming up in the United States in 2026. And, you know, soccer, there's going to be a lot of soccer fans, you know, growing soccer fans at the time. So I think there's huge growth of the sport, you know, to come for sure with the World Cup coming up.
And, of course, give Vincenzo a follow on Twitter at VB10. Listen, thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to tracking you and another conversation real soon. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. So glad you're with us here in hour two. We would love to connect. You can always join us live on Twitter at eRadioSports. Info at eRadioSports.com. Twice is nice. PodcastArena.com. We always appreciate our sponsors. And, of course, keeping your car clean is a simple, inexpensive maintenance that can help keep your car looking like new. O'Reilly Auto Parts has car wash and wax for painted surfaces, as well as interior care products like leather and vinyl, carpet and upholstery cleaner. Visit O'Reilly's for Clean Car Month, and their professional parts people will make sure you get the best detailing products for your vehicle. Shop your local store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Okay, the NBA playoffs are just around the corner, and the race for the final spots are underway. We've got you covered because in our next segment, we have extended an invitation to a very special guest. He's with the Washington Post NBA writer Ben Golliver, who has just released his new and his first book. It is titled Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season, and that is Bubble Ball. Hello, Ben. First time on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Well, before we highlight your new book, it's time to buckle up because the 2021 playoffs are quickly approaching. They will get underway the 22nd this month. What do we need to know about this year's playoffs? Because it is different. It's a play-in tournament, and I don't think LeBron's very happy.
No, that's right. I mean, I think the first thing to know is that everybody's kind of in a post-bubble hangover, right?
Yeah,
a very short offseason with a lot of positive tests and contact tracing absences this year. So the thing to know about this year's playoffs is it's wide open. You know, typically in an NBA season, there's three or four teams that really have the shot to win a title. I would say this year going into the playoffs, you know, that number is probably eight. Now, in terms of the play-in tournament, they've expanded the postseason from 16 teams to 20, and they're going to basically make the 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds in each conference fight for the final two playoff spots. And it's very possible that LeBron and the Lakers find themselves in the play-in tournament. Now, you might be asking, well, why do they do this? Well, first of all, they want to prevent tanking. They want to keep all these teams engaged down the stretch and playing really compelling basketball. A great example of that is Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, who have made a big push here over the last month. And if you ask the NBA league office like I did, they said TV ratings are up 25% from March to April because people are so invested in watching some of these play-in chases like Golden State's. So I think that's a big reason why they did it. But they're also trying to set up, you know, NCAA tournament or, you know, NFL playoff type games, do or die games. And so it's very possible we could fast forward a couple of weeks and one of those play-in games would be LeBron versus Steph for the playoffs. And you could probably think that's going to draw a lot of eyeballs. That's going to get a lot of people excited. So I think that's the new wrinkle in this year's postseason format.
You know, when we look at the Western Conference standings right now, the Lakers, they are number six. So can you kind of understand maybe where LeBron is coming from? I mean, he's saying somebody needs to be fired. You know, he's not happy with his play-in system. Where is he coming from? I want to understand his point of view.
Well, look, he's worried that if they drop to seven, they're going to have to play these do-or-die games. And look, I think ultimately LeBron is actually stressed out about his ankle, right? Because he missed 5 weeks with the ankle injury. He comes back, he immediately misses some more time, and he's talking about, you know, maybe I had to test it, maybe I came back too quickly. That's really concerning because, look, if LeBron's ankle isn't right, the Lakers' ankle isn't right, or the Lakers aren't right in terms of their title defense, right? And so I think that there's a stress factor growing here in Los Angeles where I live among Lakers fans in terms of can this team really go back-to-back? And the play-in is just one more wrinkle. Even if they advance out of the play-in tournament, and they're not necessarily guaranteed to be there yet, but it's very likely because he's missing time, they're going to have to play a team that's better rested and ready for them, right? Because, you know, you have to have a quick turnaround after these play-in games and go straight into that the real first round. So I think he's worried about can he get up to 100% health in time, and then are they going to be able to get through these extra hurdles to actually get towards the playoffs. So I think that's where his concern from. But look, the NBA is going to, you know, counter and say, we understand you want people fired. You're a little bit upset because your life is more difficult. Mm-hmm. But remember, it's all about the bottom line. It's all about keeping fans invested. And this play-in tournament has really done so.
Washington Post NBA writer Ben Golliver is our very special guest at Sports Map Radio Network. He is also the author of his brand new book. We're looking so forward to talking to him about that. It is titled Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. But we have rolled up our sleeves here in studio, and we're getting you ready for the NBA playoffs because they are just around the corner. So, you know, who's playing their best basketball in the NBA right now in this final stretch? What do you think? I think it's the 76ers.
Well, they're definitely, you know, peaking at the right time. They've done a nice job of managing their players throughout this season. I mean, they've had probably better health luck than most teams, and so that's why they're going to probably take that number one seed in the East. Now, that's going to be a big, big benefit because there's three teams that are really good in the East: Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Philly can claim that number one seed, that puts Brooklyn and Milwaukee both on the opposite side of the bracket. Now they have to face each other in that second round, and Philly has a much easier path towards the title. So things are breaking very well for Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, and company. They do it with defense. You know, their offense is still a question to me. Are they going to be able to score enough? Can Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris step up in the playoffs? Those are open questions. They're going to have to prove it, but things are going very well for them. You know, another team that's actually played great basketball lately is the Denver Nuggets out west. Now, they lost Jamal Murray to injury, and most people said, uh-oh, season over. Don't forget about King Jokic. I mean, this guy, the playoff joker, is going to show up big time once the postseason comes. He's the easy pick this year for MVP. I actually think he's in the conversation for just best overall basketball player, period, right now. He's been playing at that high of a level, and so they're going to be a tough out. Nobody wants to have to play the Denver Nuggets in the first round. I'm telling you, these guys are on a great roll. They move the basketball. They're unselfish. And they've just got an absolute killer in their center in Nikola Jokic.
They're playing some great basketball, 8-2 as far as their production, and the number four team right now in the Western Conference. Two of the teams that has been so much of a surprise this year has been the Suns and the Jazz. Do you view them as legitimate title contenders? How do you view them? What's your perception?
For sure. Look, if the Lakers were fully healthy, I would say probably not, especially in the case of Phoenix, because the matchups are so tough there. I mean, Phoenix and Utah are both going to struggle to guard LeBron and AD. They just don't have a ton of great defensive options at those spots. But here's the thing. If the Lakers aren't healthy, it is wide open, and both those guys have to be considered, you know, possible contenders. I favor Utah. I think that they have a higher ceiling in terms of their offense. They're an incredible three-point shooting team. They get hot and just put you away early. They lead the league in blowout victories this year, you know, 10-plus points by a mile, and they're very good defensively, too. Phoenix has been like the little engine that could, though. Rock solid all year long.
Yes.
You know, Chris Paul, just night after night, you know, he brings it, and he's such a great leader, and he gets the most out of his teammates. So, you know, to me, a guy like Chris Paul, he needs to be All-NBA second team this year. He deserves that honor. And Phoenix, you know, I think they kind of like being the sleeper a little bit. You know, I think they kind of like people overlooking them nationally because they want to keep surprising people. But, you know, both those teams have really benefited from continuity this year. When you're looking around at the other contenders, you know, Brooklyn, the Lakers are great examples. Higher profile teams, but way more drama in terms of keeping their guys on the court. This year, you've got, you know, Utah and Phoenix have just been real steady, keeping all their guys healthy, and putting together really consistent play.
Washington Post NBA writer Ben Golliver is our very special guest, Sports Map Radio Network. Right now, we're going to shift gears. Let's talk about your brand new book and shine the spotlight on it. It is titled, go online and you could look up this book, Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. Share a little bit about this because it chronicles your life inside the NBA bubble. How did you survive? I mean, it was a lifetime opportunity, but man, it had to be hard too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Look, it was so rewarding. It was so challenging. But, you know, ultimately, like, all good things come with a price, right? And, you know, I was there for 93 days, 92 nights, living inside the bubble.
Wow.
I actually attended every single playoff game from the second round on, because the way the schedule was lined up, you could actually get to every single game. So I threw myself into this thing head first. It's really a passion project. I took 1 week off after I left the bubble. And then I immediately started writing this book and spent about 2 months straight just cranking it out every single night trying to get this thing done. And I'm really proud of it because, you know, I kind of just, you know, take the reader along. I feel like I got a golden ticket to go down to Disney World and to see this thing play out in person. And so if you're a diehard basketball fan listening to, you know, this show, this one's for you, right? This is for people who just can't get enough of the sport. And there were so many great memories along the way. Of course, the powerful protest by the Milwaukee Bucks. LeBron James spraying me with champagne during the title celebration because there's nobody else around to celebrate with. So he turned the champagne bottles on the media members. And then, of course, all the nerves that we had going into it, like, was it going to work? But, you know, I'm not afraid to say, like, I put on weight when I was down there. Mm-hmm. I slept terribly.
Yeah.
My anxiety was up. You know, I felt the feelings of isolation, being separated from the outside world and 3,000 miles from my family. I mean, you add all those things up, and I co-signed with the player set. This was a really, really challenging experience, and I want to make sure that I capture, you know, the good, bad, and the ugly from that experience.
It was a memorable season in your life, but do you believe this was one of the most important years in NBA history because a lot was going on? The pandemic, you know, of course, we experienced the tragic death of Kobe, and then also the China controversy.
100%. There is no question about it. 2020 is going to go down as one of the most important years in the history of basketball, right up there with like 1980 when Magic shows up, or 92 with the Dream Team,
yep,
or 2003 when the LeBron era starts, because you do have a lot of off-court business stories. The financial impact of the pandemic, the Hong Kong controversy, severing ties with China there for a while. You've got Kobe's death hanging over a Lakers title run. It was with them all the way through, so much so when Anthony Davis hit that incredible game-winning three-pointer in the Western Conference Finals. What did he shout out? Kobe, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was on his mind the whole time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have the social justice activism, and that was a huge, huge part of the bubble. I mean, whether they were talking about, you know, the presidential politics, whether they were talking about Jacob Blake, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, mm-hmm, gun control.
Yep.
I mean, these players were very, very vocal and active. And so I wanted to capture that layer to this story as well. And you know, ultimately, though, this is a basketball story. You know, this is basketball first. I want people to understand that. Like, these other layers were kind of swirling around it. And, of course, there was a lot of public health stuff going on, too. But when it comes to the basketball, it was high-level play. We saw amazing performances from LeBron, Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, Jamal Murray. And I just wanted to capture each of those along the way.
It is a fascinating read. It is titled Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. Author Ben Golliver, also check him out online, Washington Post NBA writer, does an amazing job. And we're going to extend this conversation. We've got to have you back in the fall. Thank you so much, Ben, and congratulations.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 2 at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back with PGA News and Notes and Larry Miller.
This This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Be sure and join us online at Twitter at eRadioSports, info at eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com. And did you know keeping your car clean is a simple, inexpensive maintenance that can help keep your car looking new? O'Reilly Auto Parts has car wash and wax for painted surfaces, as well as interior care products like leather and vinyl, carpet and upholstery cleaner. Visit O'Reilly for Clean Car Month, and their professional parts people will help make sure that you get the best detailing products for your vehicle. Shop at your local store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, right now it is time to tee it up. We're going to head to Charlotte, North Carolina for the 2021 Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow Club. That is underway. Always an amazing venue, and we are always super excited to have joining us each and every week, and that is Larry Miller, former PGA Pro, for our weekly Inside the Ropes segment. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, everybody. And I shop in O'Reilly's quite often. They have everything in that place. You can get anything you need. So, yeah, great sponsor.
Absolutely. They've got you covered. Well, let's talk about Quail Hollow. One thing I noticed about this particular tournament is the distance and the length that they are playing. It's actually 7,500 yards. And as a result, we're seeing more drivers hit off the tee. What can you tell us about Quail Hollow, this renowned risk and reward course?
It's a big golf course. I played it back when I was playing. I call it one of the great golf courses, really, on the tour. But it is a big course. It's not only big in acreage, you know, it's very expansive, but it's also long. The holes are long, and it absolutely favors the long hitters. You have to have some shorter clubs going into those greens, and the longer hitters are going to definitely have an advantage. And I think that's one reason. And the other thing is, you know, this tournament always seems to bring out the top players, rising to the top of the leaderboard. It's a real tough golf course. It's worthy of major championships, and so any course like that seems to bring out. That's when the real elite players shine, is when it gets more difficult. And especially the guys that have been playing it, for many years, they've learned the nuances of the course. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see, and a lot of storylines going on.
You know, it's interesting. I've been listening to some of the commentators as they talk about Quail Hollow. It talks about how it rewards length if you're a long player, as you just mentioned. But it's playing a longer distance, so they're talking about that your approach shots could be 175 to 200 yards out because of the longer par four. So you've got to be precise with your irons.
You do. And they're not used to having to hit those kind of clubs in the greens. Most of the courses don't stretch out that far.
Right.
And so it's a little bit different. But once again, they're hitting. I mean, these guys now are hitting from 180, 190, or hitting 6 or 7 iron. It's just amazing how far the ball's going. And so it's not like they're hitting hybrids, and 3 irons into par fours. They're not doing that. But they're not hitting wedges either, except for maybe a couple of holes. So I think the key is the par fives. I think the people who are going to contend in this week's tournament are going to have to really manage the par fives and play those well under par to counteract, some of the more difficult holes that they're going to probably have a bogey or two on. So I think par fives are key. And once again, with par fives being the key, the long hitters, have an advantage again there, because they can reach them in two with shorter clubs.
Absolutely. Okay, so managing the par fives, but let's talk about what is the key to conquering the greens. You definitely have to have a sound strategy with that. What are they like? What did you experience when you were there at Quail Hollow?
Well, you better be good at lag putting from 30, 40, 50 feet, because
really?
You have a lot of them. And so I've always, what I try to do, when I get a 50-footer on a difficult green, with undulations and whatever and fast, I try to imagine that the hole's about 2 feet wide. And so that's my target. I'm not trying to, hit it into a 4-inch hole from 50 feet on a tough green. I'm trying to get it into a 2-foot circle. And to me, I just made the putt. If I get it in that 2-foot circle, that's in the cup. And what happens then is you're assured of a 2-putt at least. And so that's what you want to do. You want to avoid three putting from long distance. You're going to have your chances, you know, on par fives and some other holes you hit it close on, but you've got to be able to two putt those tough long putts.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker Campbell. Perhaps you have a question for Larry Miller, former PGA pro and author that joins us each and every week inside the ropes. You can always email our show at info@eradiosports.com. And perhaps if you missed any of our interviews today, podcastarena.com. You can go back and listen to our program. Okay, so the Wells Fargo Championship, it is underway at Quail Hollow Club. What do you think about this week's field? Because, you know, it is the best tournament between two majors of 2021. A lot of fun to watch, and they've got so many stars that are competing.
I think a really interesting storyline this week is McIlroy. He's, you know, he hadn't played in 3 weeks. He's been trying to, you know, get his swing, his game back with Pete Cowan and working on it. And so, you know, he's really struggling. He's sort of entering that territory that Jordan Spieth was in there for a couple of years. I mean, Rory hasn't won in, you know, what, 3 years in a major. And so, you know, he's perilously close to getting into that same dark spot that Spieth was in if he doesn't turn it around real soon. So I think really going to be interesting this week on that. And it's a golf course he's had success on. And so it's going to be interesting to see if the work he's been doing is going to pay off and if his game has been rejuvenated or if he's going to continue on this tailspin he's been on. So that's one storyline going to be interesting. You got DeChambeau coming back and playing now after a layoff. See what he's going to do. This should be a good course for him as long as it is. The fairways, you know, a few tight holes, but for the most part, you could hit driver without worrying too much. And so that favors him. But is he rusty or not? You know, it's another storyline. Is you know, DJ is not playing this week. Is Spieth going to continue his resurgence? So I think there's a lot of really interesting storylines, and it's going to be a fascinating tournament to watch this week.
Okay, so let's hit on some other storylines in the PGA from this week. And, of course, that is the development of the Super League. That is a breakaway tour from the PGA Tour. What was your reaction when you heard about this? I mean, it's been talked about, you know, for several years now, but they're really trying to push hard for this and make this come into fruition.
Listen, I think this is much ado about nothing. I think it's sensationalism.
Really? Okay.
It's dramatic. I don't think. Listen, there's a book on business, and it's called The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. And it and one of the things they talk about is how certain companies, certain brands endure over long periods of time. In other words, Wendy's has never been able to overtake McDonald's. 7-Up has never been able to overtake Coca-Cola. Nestle's can't catch Hershey's. You know, Wrigley's chewing gum, 100 years, is still the best, still the most popular.
Juicy Fruit.
And here's the reason why. It's because those things I just mentioned are quality products, and they were first.
Yeah.
That's the key thing. They're quality, and they were first. It's the same with the PGA Tour. It's a top-quality organization, and you know, and it was first. And I can't see, they're talking about throwing $100 million to Phil Mickelson to jump and play this tour. And the commissioner, Jay Monahan of the PGA Tour, has come out and said, if you jump and play that tour, you're done. You're done with the PGA Tour. You're going to be expelled from it forever. You'll never play it again. Now Mickelson, they want to give him $100 million to jump. Now, Phil Mickelson's a whole different entity. You know, Phil's near the end of his career, sort of. He definitely is. He's nearing the end of it. $100 million, hey, so what if he can't play the PGA Tour anymore? You know, but it's not that he needs the money. You know, he's got a lot of money. Now, do you think players like Colin Morikawa, Victor Hovland, Sam Burns, they're not going to jump for $20 or $30 million and play that tour and never be able to play the PGA Tour again?
Right.
Because those three guys and a few others, over the next 10, 15 years, are going to make $100 million with money winnings, with endorsements. So why should they jump and give up the chance to, you know, to be in the Hall of Fame in golf? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. McIlroy has already come out and said he doesn't play for the money necessarily. He plays for the glory, for the championships. And I think a lot of the players feel that way. I just don't see it happening. And this tour, it can't make it without big names. And they're not going to get big names to jump just for a few million dollars that they're going to surpass anyway in the next 5 or 10 years easily. And so I think it's an attempt. It's a serious attempt. They're throwing a lot of money out there, but I just don't think they're going to be able to, you know, go back to the immutable laws of marketing. I don't think they're going to be able to catch the PGA Tour, just like those brands can't catch the top brands.
It is an attempt to lure the elite players on the PGA Tour, but I've been very impressed with the response of the current players, all the biggest names on the PGA, and their solidarity with their league, how they're not being seduced by an obscene amount of money, right?
Right. And so what, you know, what happens if they do, if they would jump and play for that money, what happens if the thing dries up in a few years and then they can't go
exactly.
back? Then what? Then you can't go back and play. They're not going to give up, all that for, as you said, for being seduced by a lot of front money, coming at them, for which they got to pay 50% or more in taxes anyway. I mean, I think all this talk about it is just, it's sensationalism, and it's trying to just have a story, typical stuff, and I don't see it all being a threat to the PGA Tour at all.
You know, you mentioned talking about the PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan, how he reiterated his punishment for any player that would join this rival tour. He did not mess around, so he is actually, I mean, he's taking this very seriously, and he does view it as a threat. I mean, what do you think about that, his response?
Well, you know, and this has been brewing, so you know that he has consulted a team of expert law analysts and lawyers. And so you know for sure when he says that you're going to be suspended or expelled from the PGA Tour, you know that he has the power to do that without any repercussions or any lawsuits. So I'm sure it's been well researched. And so I'm glad that he came out right away with that stern, you know, warning. Mm-hmm. Because that pretty much puts a stop to it in my mind. I can't see any marquee player. Now, Mickelson's another animal. You know, like I said, he's nearing the end of his career. You give
right.
him $100 million, you might say, so what? You know, I'll go play tournament golf somewhere else. But I don't even think he will in the end do that.
Well, the Super League says it plans for 5 events in 2022. We will have to wait and see. But some of the good news this week, let's talk about this and move ahead here, Larry, is the Korn Ferry Tour, as they plan to raise the prize money to a minimum of $1 million per golf tournament in 2023. And that is such good news for the future stars in golf so they can take that next step and get to the PGA. You know this well, Larry. It is not easy making a living and playing professional golf at that level. I mean, when you've got a tight budget and just so many expenses, people think, oh, wow, I made $60,000 in a tournament. That's nothing.
Yeah, it's very expensive. Even in my day playing the tour, it was very expensive. You didn't have sponsors, serious sponsors, and you had a hard time making it or enduring. You couldn't persevere unless you had a lot of financial support.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2 SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at Twitter at E-Radio Sports. Right now, let's rejoin the conversation with Larry Miller. You know, Larry, take us back. I mean, what was it like for you back in the day? Did you drive everywhere? Did you fly? I mean, being a professional golfer can be very rewarding, but obviously very challenging when you're trying to meet so many obligations.
Yeah, when I was playing, almost everybody drove except the really top players, because the prize money wasn't like anything like it is now at all. And so it was something you really had to get used to, because, you know, if you, let's say you qualified on a Monday, got in the tournament, but missed the cut on Friday, well, all of a sudden you've got to get, you know, by Monday next to the next qualifying site. And a lot of times you get there without even being able to play a practice round. And then not only that, you're tired from driving. You know, the steering wheel's still in your hands when you get on the practice tee. And it's a tough deal, you know. Now, the last year I played, I was able to fly quite a bit more. You know, the only reason I had to quit was because my oldest son was getting ready to be born, and things just, it was just circumstantial. and I was unable to persevere any longer. But even though I was getting a little better each year, it was just circumstantial. And so, you know, but anyway, you have to nowadays, you know, the sponsorships are so much more. I mean, the endorsements, even the lesser known players still get a lot of endorsement money for the products that they endorse.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. He joins us each and every week right here at Sports Map Radio Network, and that is Larry Miller, former PGA pro, author of 4 books on golf and performance. Check out his golf site, and that is website, that is, at LarryMillerGolf.com. Larry, have a great weekend. Quickly, give us, all of our listeners out there, a tip. I mean, spring is here. Summer's just around the corner.
Well, yeah, it's time to check your clubs. Get on a track, man. At your club or at a facility near you, and make sure your clubs fit you, that you got the right stuff, because it makes, I'll tell you, these days, it makes a huge difference. It wasn't that way years ago, but now you got to make sure you're fit with everything that fits you just right, and it will make you play a lot better golf.
Awesome.
So, you know, get your stuff checked out.
Okay, Larry, have a great weekend. We look forward to our next conversation next week, okay?
Great. Everybody have fun.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
That, of course, was Larry Miller, who joins us each and every week at Sports Map Radio Network. Thanks to all of our amazing guests in our lineup. As a reminder, don't drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody.